Troubadour, glad to have y'all here on this rainy, miserable, ugly-looking Sunday morning. But we're here to lift up the name of the God, and it's beautiful in this house this morning. So we all please stand. We're going to start out with an old song. You know, Pastor Larry just finished up this sermon series on Joshua. And what was the last thing Larry preached last week? I tell you the thing that stuck with me. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. So, and that is the reason we're starting out with, I have decided to follow Jesus this morning. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have as we open up with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that we are here this morning to lift up and praise your holy name. And Lord, I thank you for the word our pastor has brought us through the book of Joshua to the very end of it. And for me and my house, we're going to serve you, God, and there is no turning back. Lord, I pray that you stand with us and then you help us to continue and persevere to the end, that we never, ever turn back. Lord, I pray an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us as we worship you this morning and upon your word that our pastor has for us this morning from you and the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for it in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may remain standing, but I got to say, oh, baby. Now look in your bulletin. There's something in there that says, oh, baby. All right? You need to read that, and they're asking for your help, and you have any questions. See Lori Yiskin. She's waving over there like she's, you know, Pentecostal or something. But anyways, also you see her, you see Deanna, right? And where, Deanna, where are you? There you go. Yeah, she's a Baptist right there. So, but read this. And also, I want to remind you all, this Saturday coming is the community breakfast. We usually show up there around 7:30 a.m. to help set up and start serving at 8 o'clock. If you're looking for a place of service to plug in, this is a great place for you. And then there's also, I don't see any of the youth people, or I'm assuming there's youth group tonight, so that's going very well. Be there. Thank you. Read your bulletin.
All right. Thank you, Larry. As we get in our next song, don't you all think Mike is crazy this morning? But there's a reason for this, because, you know, what is the foundation of our faith? It's Jesus Christ. And from the very beginning, God ordained Jesus' name. He told them. He didn't give it a chance. There was no chance. You weren't going to name him Bob or nothing else. He was going to be named Jesus from the very beginning.
Wonderful Counselor.
foundation God laid of Jesus Christ. He is our firm foundation.
Christ is my firm foundation.
I just want to speak. God, I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind and every soul. Lord, I want to speak the name of Jesus to this congregation. Lord, I want to speak the name of Jesus over this congregation. And Jesus, that you would move very powerfully, very mightily today. That, Lord, that through your word, not mine, but your word, Lord, that there will be power. There will be strength. There will be healing. There will be those who will be drawn closer into a relationship with you. So, Lord, we come as your church. We offer this worship to you, and we give thanks to you for all that you've already done for us. And so we want to offer this worship to you out of love, out of our care, Lord, that we love you so much. And, Lord, we just want to give you a praise offering and thank you for all that you've done for us first. And, Lord, as we come to the giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, we pray that you'll bless both the gift and the giver. Lord, that these funds will be used to further the gospel, your message of the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, that through these gifts, Lord, we can reach even to the outer ends of this world. So, Lord, we just thank you for how you have blessed us. Now, Lord, let us bring back a blessing to which you have first given to us. And we ask your blessing upon this offering. And for this service, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will just again move mightily and that you will use me to do that. Lord, I just pray that if I'm going to say something that's not true, that's not right, that's not of your word, that you would silence my lips, that you would rise up the one to preach for you this day. Why? Because it's not about me, it's all about you. And so, Lord, we give this all to you. In Jesus' most holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see you all this morning, and we're down a little bit again this morning. I know that there are some people still out sick, and people are lingering from having the illness, and so we need to pray for them. And if you have your Bibles this morning, open them up to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And last week, I've entitled this sermon, Hopelessly Devoted to You. All right. Last week we finished up the book of Joshua, and the theme was you choose. You choose how you trust God. You choose how you worship God. You choose how you witness for God. And now I want to take that just a step further and show you the end result of how you choose and taking that choice and maturing our faith. We are going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 because this is exactly what Paul is talking about. And we will be in Romans for a few weeks. I'm going to do a mini series from chapter 12 to who knows where. But we're going to be here for a little bit where Paul is going to talk about our maturing and not wasting our Christian life. Now understand, people can waste their Christian life. Do you understand that? There are Christians, they're Christians. But they can waste their Christian life by living in immaturity. And in the book of Romans, Paul talks about his chief aim in the church is to help people mature in the things of God. In fact, if you've got your Bibles and you put your finger right there in Romans 12, now that you're there, and get over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I want you, and it'll be up here, and I want you to listen because Paul talks about this being one of the major things, this maturing, being one of the major things that he is to do in the church. He is to help the people mature. So he comes in verse 28 of Colossians 1, and he says this, Colossians 1, verse 28. He says, him we preach. Now, who is him? Christ, right? Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. It's very important how that's worded, in Christ Jesus. Now, the word perfect there, in some versions, it says complete. It literally is a word that means to be mature, to be perfect. He says, my desire, Paul's saying, my desire is to proclaim, is to preach. My desire is to preach and teach, right? My desire is to preach Jesus Christ and warn every man and teach every man in Christ. so that I may present to Christ every man complete, perfect, mature in him. What a goal. What a task. Listen, I understand him, what he's saying here. My desire is for you to all know and mature as with all of God's power and all of God's wisdom and understanding of the scripture is, and I tried to teach you, and we have teachers here who tried to teach you these things, right? Now, Paul had an issue with a number of churches that had a problem with immaturity. They struggled in spiritual immaturity, and one of them happened to be the church of Corinth. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you will see there that Paul writes, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "And I," meaning Paul, "and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk." Now, when a baby's born, do we just pop them out and give them steak? No, we have to feed them milk, something that they can sustain, right? Paul said, you're not growing spiritually, right? He says, you're spiritual babes. You're not maturing spiritually. You're not growing spiritually. That on your own, you're not putting things into practice. On a basic level, you just aren't getting the understanding of it. Or if you are understanding it, you're not putting it into use. You're not practicing it in your life. The Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews had, we don't know exactly who it is, or people speculate, but the writer of Hebrews had the same issue over in Hebrews chapter 5 to those Hebrews he was writing to. He comes and he says this there in verse 12. He says this, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you've been here a while, you've been here a long time, I've been teaching you, I've been sharing with you, I've been mentoring you, I've been showing you. He says, though you've been here, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles, the elementary, the basics, right, of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. You're not growing. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, meaning he's an infant, right? 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, meaning the mature. That is those who, by reason of use, those who put it into practice, those who are using what they know about the Word of God, right? But by those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised, right? They've trained themselves. They put themselves into action, right? To discern both good and evil. So Paul comes and he says, listen, this is my task in the church. He says, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my task in church. And I want to tell you something to you all from me personally. It is not my job to build numbers and money in this church. That's not what I'm here for. That's not what I'm doing. I'm not here to make sure there's 100 plus people here every week. My goal to you is not to make sure that you're putting the right amount of money in the offering plate. I should be teaching you those things, and you should be doing those things. Why? Because I'm teaching from the Word, not my Word. I'm teaching from the Word of God. So he comes and he says, this is my task. And sure, so I want to tell you, for me personally, it's not my job to build numbers and money in this church. What I want to do is grow you. That's my goal, is I want to grow you, not grow the numbers that... Listen, if I'm doing what God's told me to do, the numbers will come. They'll come all by themselves, right? But listen, but I feel that the greatest thing that I can do is to so help you move from where you are now to where you can be in Jesus Christ. And people say, Pastor, does you ever just get tired of being tired of being tired of in the church? I say, oh, absolutely. Well, why do you keep doing it? Because I see that one. I see that one that is growing and maturing in the Lord, and that spurs me on. That's what keeps me going. So I want to move you from where you are to where you can be in Jesus Christ. My goal is to challenge you spiritually, that you will grow in spiritual maturity. You'll grow in your relationship with the Lord so that you look back a year from now and you can personally see, I've progressed. There's nothing wrong with seeing that you've progressed spiritually. that you've given things of yourself to the Lord, right? You can look back and think, I've grown. I've grown spiritually. I'm not that same person who walked up and gave my life to Christ. I'm not that same person anymore. I have grown in the Lord. I've stepped out and I walked a little deeper in the things of God. I have surrounded more of my life. I have surrendered more of my life to Christ and His way in my life. And what does that look like, Pastor? Well, it could mean that I've gotten over some attitudes. You think you don't have an attitude? Let me pick a couple of them out. No, just kidding. I've gotten over some attitudes. There have been some hard people that their attitudes have changed. I've gotten over some of the past, some things that happened in my past. I've gotten over some of the hurt, right? I've gotten over some of the pain, right? I've gotten beyond some of the injury, and I've begun to live the way God has called me as a Christian to live. And I can even look now and say that I've learned how to live rightly in my relationship to the Lord. I live rightly in the current world. I live rightly in our culture. I live rightly in my finances. I live rightly in my worship and service to the Lord. I want to grow the church. That's what I want to do. I want to grow the church spiritually, not numerically. I want to grow the church spiritually, and that corporately and personally, all of us together and personally. And that's why I want to bring you this study that I'm beginning. So look with me as Paul talks about how do we grow in maturity? How do I do this? What has to happen? What has to take place? How do I grow in the things of God? How can I become mature? You all should ask, we all, me, you, everyone should be asking this. And it should be our prayers moving forward. Lord, how can I become more mature in you? So Paul now begins to talk about your life and your maturity level. And he comes in verse 1 of chapter 12, and he's going to talk about maturity in the whole process of relationship. Listen, I get it all the time. People want to start out where I'm at. I get new believers and I go talk to them. They want to start out where I'm at. They want to know everything I know. And I keep telling them, I didn't start here. I arrived here. Why? It took me time to learn. It took time to study. It took time people pouring into me, right? And so that's we got to get a hold of this when we're talking about maturity and the whole process of maturity. But the whole process of maturity, it deals with relationship. Because let me ask you something. Where does maturity show up? Or where this? Where does maturity not show up? No place better than in a relationship, right? We get relationships with people and we'll say, man, that person's immature. Well, how do we know? Because we've been around them, right? There's no better place than where maturity shows up and evaluated at is in a relationship. You can look at how we deal with each other. And you can tell the level of spiritual maturity that we have as a church. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul starts with our relationship with God. That's where the maturity is going to start. It's going to start with our relationship with God. The most important relationship that a person can have is with God, with Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, when we get down to verse 2, and I don't think I'll get to verse 2 today, y'all say amen. I might not get past I beseech ye, all right? I don't think that we'll get to verse 2, but it deals with our relationship with ourselves. And then from verse 3 on, we're going to look at our relationship with other brothers and sisters, our relationship with our enemies. Do you know that God lays out a relationship that you should have with your enemies? And the first one is we are to love. Oh, yeah. How about that one, right? Our relationship with our enemies, and it'll go on to our relationship to our government, our relationship to our employer, our relationship to the lost world. Paul is going to look at all of that and more. And by the way, while I'm trying to teach you a little bit of something here, while I'm trying to do that, let me tell you, I want you to notice through this that Paul is really laying some foundation for a doctrine that most of us are very unfamiliar with. It's the doctrine is called the doctrine of the priesthood of believers. Now, in this first verse, he's going to talk about us, and he's going to talk about us in a priestly way, and a Christly way, right? So we've just left Joshua in the importance about our obedience to God, right? So we should understand this now, that when Paul comes and talks about service and presenting ourselves as a sacrifice, when we are choosing God, our obedience to God, right? We're choosing God, right? We can sense what's good, this whole thing about us presenting ourselves as sacrifices. So let's pick it up in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I've only got one point for you this morning. Not one, oh no. A life of maturity and a life that has meaning begins with a point number one. Begins with a deep devotion. Begins with a deep devotion. Now listen to what he does here. And folks, all I'm going to do is go through this verse one, right? Paul comes and he says, chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore. Now understand this about the Christian life, because you can write this over the top of this verse. If you had a pencil or a pen, you write over top of this verse. In Christianity, we do not come to Christ in order to get stuff from God. We do not come to Christ in order to get, that's not our main purpose. That's not the thrust of why we come to God. No, we come to God through Christ in order that we might present ourselves to God. That we give ourselves to God. Megan came and said last week, she says, I want to surrender myself fully to the Lord. That's what it is we come and we give ourselves, we present ourselves, right? Listen, God has already given us the best that he has. There's nothing better that he can give us than what he's already given us. He's given us the best that he has through his son, Jesus Christ. Now it's our turn. It's on us now to give back to him. He's first demonstrated to us, right? He demonstrated to us. He gave to us. Now it's also our turn to demonstrate our love to him. That's what he demonstrated to us, right? Also understand, Christianity is not a religion of give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. There are churches out there. They're called name it and claim it. Lord wants you to have a Louis Vuitton purse. God could care less if you have a Louis Vuitton purse. God would be more concerned if you're going to glorify him in some way with that Louis Vuitton purse. Now, am I against Louis Vuitton purses? Absolutely not. I carry one all the time. It's not my point. What I'm trying to say, this is Christianity. It's not an Aladdin's lamp, where we just rub it and say the right words and we get everything we want. That's not what Christianity is. That's not what it's about. The Christian life is what Paul is going to talk about here. It is giving myself completely to God. To give myself over 100%. It means to continuously surrender myself to God fully every day. Steve touched on something that at the very end of his lesson down there. I walked in at the very end, but he made a statement of something about this is an everyday thing. This is something I got to do every day, and it is. This is the same thing. It's an everyday thing. So he comes and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. Some versions say urge. I urge you. It's an appeal. It's not a command. It's not an imperative even. It's an appeal. He's saying, I'm urging you to do this. In fact, it's a word that you all know very well. Even in the Greek, you all know it very well. You all know what it is. In the noun sense, it's the word Holy Spirit. Meaning the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us to help us, to encourage us, to lift us, to inspire us, right? That's what his job. The Holy Spirit isn't there to like smack us when we get out of line. The Holy Spirit is like, listen, I want to encourage you to get through this the right way. I want to help you to get through this the right way. So he's there to encourage us. But when you use it in a verb tense, it means to encourage. It means to spur you on, to root you on. If you've got the New King, if you have the New King James Version or the King James, it says beseech. I beseech you. I urge you. I encourage you. We would say it like this. I'm cheering you on. I'm cheering you on. You can do it. You can do it, Ronnie. Ronnie, you can do it. You can do it. You can get Pat. Ronnie, I'm here with you. I'm going to support you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to help you. Ronnie, you can do it. Go, go, go. You can make it. I'm cheering for you. Paul says, I'm urging you. I'm asking you. I'm urging you. So he comes and he wants you to know that he is here. He is putting his arm around you, the Holy Spirit, and he says, I'm urging you to do something. And that sometimes is going to be to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. But now, hold on, Pastor. You're getting pretty deep in this now. You're asking a whole lot. I'm not asking you for anything. Hold on, because we're not there yet. But I want you to look at the motivation for this. Everything deals with motivation, right? Look at the motivation for this. The appeal, I urge you, but here comes the motivation. It is, look, by the mercies of God. Do you notice anything about that word mercies right there? It's actually pretty important. Did you notice that it's plural? Mercies. It's not the mercy of God. It's the mercies of God. Now let me ask you this. Can you stand up and count all your many blessings? Well, I don't know if you can or not, but mine are too many to count. The truth is you can rattle them off from here to eternity if you stop and think about it for a second, right? And let me tell you, the mercies of God, let me tell you something about the mercies of God. They never fail. Well, there's no failure in God, so there's no failures in His mercies. The mercies of God, listen, here's another thing about the mercies of God. They never run out. It doesn't run empty. His tank of mercies does not run empty. They never run out. The mercies, plural, of God are continuous. Then they are constant. In fact, we are experiencing them every single moment of every single day. Anybody believe that? You all just experienced the mercies of God just now about five times. Just now. The breath that you take is a mercy from God. That is what he's talking about. These mercies that should create the deep devotion, that should create a deep devotion in our life in order to do the rest of what he's saying right here. We got to understand the motivation. Why? It's because God's mercy is upon me. He has given them to me, right? So this is my motivation, right, that is going to come to present myself, right? So he comes and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, I've not dealt with the therefore yet, so I'm going to do it now, right? So whenever you come to a therefore, you always ask, you know, what is a therefore? Therefore, what's it there for? Well, it always points to the past, right? We know that. It always points to the past. It always points you to what has just been said. So that means we got to back up a little bit and go back to chapter 11, right? And it begins in verse 33 of chapter 11. And Paul is going to talk about the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And he says in verse 33, look what he says. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's rich beyond any, that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, it's rich beyond anything that you can imagine. You can't even conceive the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You can't put a dimension on that. There's not a box big enough for it, right? He says, there's not anything that you can imagine. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Meaning this, what's he saying? He's saying this. He says, you can't begin to delve into the depths of the judgments of God. We say it like this all the time. His ways are not, and his thoughts are not. We can't begin to delve into the depths of the judgment of God or his ways. We can't, because the way God operates and works are far beyond our imaginations, far beyond our conception of our mind, right? So that's what he's talking about here. I mean, it's not that we can't see the end from the beginning. We don't always see that, right? So that's what he's talking about here. And then Paul says this as he quotes the Old Testament. And let me tell you this before I tell you this, right? Let me tell you this before I tell you this. Okay. This is, before I read this, I want to let you in on something, a little inside thing here. Before I read you this, you need to know this. This is Hebrew humor that I'm going to read you out of the text. It's Hebrew humor. Now listen, it's not funny to us, but to the Jews, this would have been funny. They'd have laughed at you, right? But look what it says in Romans 11:34. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Well, thank you. Continue on. Look, he says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? We're not laughing. Well, Mike is. You're still laughing. So we're not laughing. But if you were a Jew, you would be laughing. Because they would be sitting there thinking, really? Who could know it? That's silly. Who could know the mind of the Lord? There's nobody who could do that. The Jews would have laughed at this. They would have found this humorous. Or this, when he says, or who has become his counselor? That's... To them, that would be a joke as well. Like it would be like this. Be who walked in and told God, you just lay, God, just lie down here on the couch here, and I'll sit and I'll listen to you as you tell me all about your childhood and everything that went on in your childhood. You just lay out here. I'll be your counselor. Well, that's a joke, because nobody counsels God. God has never had a counselor, nor will he ever need one. Or this, verse 35, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him. Again, what he is saying right here is this. Whoever walked up to God and say, well, how much do you need today, Lord? You're looking like you could use a little something there, Lord. Lord, let me just peel off here. Let me peel off a couple of bills, because you look like you need some money, like you need to get along and get some food or get a good meal or a night stay or something, Lord. Here, you just take this, Lord. You pay me back later. The Jews would have looked at this and said, this is a joke, right? Now, why would they say that? Because God owns it all. God has it all. He created it all, right? So the fact of the matter is, everything you've got in everything that you got right now is God's, that he gave to you. He owned it first. I don't care what it is. Understand this, he is not obligated to us whatsoever. However, we have a great obligation to him. Listen, what I've got on. Looking good, aren't I? All right, thanks, Mike. Listen, what I got on. Thanks, honey. How about, like I said earlier, the air I breathe? How about the truck I drive? How about the house I live in? How about the motorcycle I own? How about the food I eat? How about the wife I have? What about my children? What about this church? What about you in my life? Everything that I have, God has given to me, and I need to get it. I need to understand it. I need to accept that. Now listen to what Paul says next in verse 36. Look what he says, for of him and through him and To him are all things, to whom be the glory. Now look, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. Now just notice there, Paul amens himself. You know, I have to do that every once in a while, right? Paul amens himself here. So Paul says, because of all of this, therefore, because of all these things, therefore, I'm urging you, I'm beseeching you, I want to take you deeper into the things of God. So I'm urging you by the mercies of God, all that he has given unto you, all that he's provided for you, all that he has done for you, by the mercies of God. I'm urging you by the mercies of God. So what should motivate you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to the Lord? The mercies of God, in which he gave to you from himself. All the mercy that he has given to you, that he has showered on you, that he has baptized you in, that he has immersed you in. So he comes and he says, that you present. Therefore, because of this, I urge you, beseech you, that you present. Now, let me just stop with that word right there, present. He said, you are to present something to God. Now, you know what it is, because this is one of the most recognized verses in all the Word of God that I'm teaching you this morning. Look what it says. Therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. What am I presenting? Your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Or some versions say it like this, which is your spiritual worship, or your service of worship. That he's saying that we are to present. He is telling us we are to present ourselves. Me, myself. I'm to present myself. We are to present ourselves. And now let me tell you, that word present there is used in Luke chapter 2, verse 23, the same word, where Joseph and Mary bring the baby Jesus to the temple for him to be presented on the eighth day, right? They brought him to the temple and presented him at the temple on the eighth day. Same word. It's what you read when you get to John chapter 18 and Jesus is in the garden praying and the guards come who are led by Judas. And as they get there, Jesus looks at them and he comes up to them. He presents himself to them. He says, in verse 4, he says, who are you looking for? And they say to him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus presents himself and says, I am he. I'm the one. I am he. He presents himself, right? And they all drew back and they fell on the ground. That's in verse 6 of John 18. Then they get up, straighten up, and they go. And then an army comes back to arrest one man, right? They bring an army back to arrest one man. And Jesus says, well, let me ask you guys again. Who are you guys looking for? And again, they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus says, I've already told you. And he steps up and he presents himself. I am he. And so he presents himself to them. Also, when the Word of God tells us that Christ was slain from the foundation of the earth, listen, God the Son presented himself to God the Father and said, I will go. God's up there. Somebody's got to pay the price. Somebody's got to pay the price for the sins of our creation. And Jesus walked up to the Lord God of the Father and he says, I present myself to you. I'll go. I'll go do this service that you require. I'll go do this thing that you require. I'm going to do this because I love you. So he says, I will go and pay the price of sin for this creation that we created. And he presents himself. Now, do you understand that you have to present yourself from time to time? I had to present myself before judges before. That's never fun, is it? I've had to present myself before judges. I've had to present myself for jury duty. I've had to present myself before an ordination board many, many years ago for hours. I had to present myself to them for hours. And I sat before an ordination board and they could ask me anything they wanted to ask me. Biblical questions, personal questions, questions about my family, about my past. They could ask me absolutely anything they wanted to, and I had to answer. Why? I want you to listen to why. Because I agreed to go in and present myself to them as I had presented myself already first to God to serve in this capacity. I presented to my God, to myself to God first to serve Him. And then I presented myself to the council because I presented myself first to God. And this is what we must do as a believer. I present myself to Jesus Christ first and foremost for forgiveness, for the forgiveness of my sins. And then by that relationship, I present myself to Him to serve Him, to learn of Him, to know Him. It's not just to say that I'm a Christian. It's to know why I'm a Christian and to know in whom I serve. This is my relationship with Him. For all of His mercies, and there are many, for all of His mercies toward me, I present myself to Him. To do what? To whatever He pleases. To whatever His will and purpose is in my life. Because you can't say that He doesn't have one, because Ephesians says that you do. That He saved you for His own good will and purpose. Right? So this is a one-time event? Absolutely not. This is an everyday event. Right, Steve? What you're talking about? Everyday event. It's not only an everyday event, but I present myself to Him in every way possible. Now we're talking about maturity. That's what He's saying right here. You have to present yourself to God just as Jesus did, as a living sacrifice to serve God's will and purpose. It may mean that you might need to leave your home. Don't we send money to missionaries that have left their home? It may mean that you may need to leave your home. It may mean you surrender yourself to service in His church. It could be that you need to, you fill in the blank. You may need to do this to fulfill God's will and purpose in your life. To become a living sacrifice. An active sacrifice. That's good. An active sacrifice. Ongoing. Just like God's mercies is ongoing. My sacrifice should be ongoing. For what? For God to grow and mature me in Him. Now let me give you the first subpoint on point one. And that is this. First is, you come back next week and I'll tell you. But for now, Christians, let me ask you this. Are you really hopelessly devoted to Him? How mature are you in your relationship with God? Let me ask you this question. How mature do you think God thinks you are in His relationship with Him? Or let me ask it this way. Do you want more out of your spiritual life? Or are you content to be right where you are right now and you're just happy and content just to be right there? If you're not moving forward and you're not moving backwards, what does that make you? Say it. Somebody said it. Stagnant. Well, here's the truth. If you are content where you are in your spiritual life, then this is the best. It very well may be that this is the best that you're going to get. And God's mercies may be just what they are right now and nothing more. that this is the best your spiritual life will ever be. But Christian, if you want more, I don't know about you, I want more. But if you want more in your spiritual life, in your relationship with our Lord and Savior, if you want to move toward a deeper spiritual maturity in your relationship with the Lord, then you must do this. You must present yourself to Him. You must offer yourself, sacrifice yourself. At the very minimum, if you don't feel that you have it, come and ask Him to put a desire in you to want more. To have more of Him and His blessings and mercies in your life. Which means you may have to give up some things in your physical life to gain more in your spiritual life. That's the giving of yourself. That's the giving of yourself. You give up some of your physical that you will gain more of His spiritual. And that will lead to a greater spiritual maturity. Right? More of Him and less of you. Amen? Who wouldn't want that? I want that. I want more of Him and less of me. I know me, and I can't hardly stand myself sometimes. And listen, no amens on that, thank you. And listen to me, and you get this straight. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. The more you give to Him and that of yourself, the more He will give and reveal Himself to you. Understand, that is His desire. That's what He wishes. That's what He wants. If you will present yourself to Him, He wants to give more of Himself to you. The question comes to this then. Will you do that? Will you do that? And for those, you know, I have marked in my notes here an illustration. I don't know if I want to do it or not because every illustration breaks down. I have $2,100 bills in my pocket right now. The first 20 people that stands up, I'll give them $100. Oh, you wanted it, didn't you? You want it. You understand what I'm getting at? There's certain things that we want in our life. Even in school, when you were being chosen for teams, the kids, oh, choose me, choose me, choose me, choose me, choose me. But if I tell you we need 5 new Sunday school teachers, the first 20 that stands up gets it. First 5 stands up and gets it. Let's put it that way. Now you ain't so anxious. It's an illustration. I should want God like that. Like, I want that $100. I should want like that. I should desire like that. That I would offer myself, you, I'll do it, I'll do it. Me, 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 me. Huh? Yeah, Randy Ryan. That's for the believers. And for those of you who have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ for salvation, then your spiritual life is dead. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. Then your spiritual life is dead, and it cannot move forward. It's only headed for the grave. That's the only place it's going to end up is the grave. So for you, your first act needs to be to surrender yourself to Jesus Christ and His salvation, to take His offer up to forgive you of all your sins, and that you will present yourself to follow Him, right? Then, and only then, can you offer yourself to God. After that, only then can you offer yourself to God as a living sacrifice and allow Him to rule in your life. Or let me ask you this. Maybe you're here this morning and let me ask you this. Do you need a little bit of mercy? Do you need a little bit of grace? Do you need a little bit of peace? Yeah, right? I'm not talking about world peace. I'm talking about inner peace. How about joy? How many of you can use some of that? Then I implore you, I urge you, I beseech you to come and present yourself to the Lord. So as the praise band comes, right, they're going to come, and as the music begins, then I want to ask you to do this. You step out. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Listen, I need more of all these things that I just mentioned to you myself. I need them. Don't be afraid to come and ask the Lord. Don't be afraid to come to pray to the Lord. Lord, I want more. I want the desire to want more. Lord, I need you. I want to present myself to you, Lord. So I come, Lord, and I present myself to you. Don't be afraid. There are plenty of brothers and sisters here that want to pray with you and for you. And listen, I am here. I will pray with you and for you. But prayer is where it begins. Because prayer is, I'm speaking to God. Not you, but to the Lord. Would you present yourselves to Him? Let us pray. Father God, in these moments, we implore you, we beg you, Father, to move across this sanctuary in a very mighty and powerful way. And Lord, that as you move, that you will convict our hearts, Lord, that we would surrender more of ourselves to you. Lord, and that you would convince our minds of that, you will convince our minds, Lord, that we need you. And not only need you, but we need a deeper, deeper relationship with you. So, Lord, in this time, in this place, in this moment, as we ask you to move powerfully and to draw people to yourself, please draw all lost souls to yourself, Lord Jesus. Most important, that if someone does not know you, that today you would reveal yourself to them and they would see that they need you. They may not understand it all, but they know because you're speaking to them. I pray that you draw them close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Will you please stand?
Thank you.
thank you all for coming. If you need prayer, I'll be standing around up here. I'll be willing to stay back and pray with you. But listen, it's often easy to become the living sacrifice when we're standing in these walls. It's going to get harder to be the living sacrifice when you walk out those doors. So my prayer for you is pray now that God will give you the strength to be his witness in all the world. God bless you and thank you for coming. God bless you. You're dismissed.
I exalt.